Well, the major focus of a national election is typically the race for president. Obviously, there are races for Congress that are important as well. And as you would expect, the party in the majority declares that they will stay in that majority, while the minority party promises to win seats and maybe, just maybe, become the majority. My next guest today is here with an explanation about how and why that is extremely challenging for Democrats as the situation exists today on a national level. He presents these details in his book, Rat Bleeped, The True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. He's also former editor-in-chief at Salon. David Daley, thanks for being here today, Dave.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, well, your book focuses on what's the political term is gerrymandering. For the political novice that might be listening, explain what gerrymandering is.
Absolutely. We can start it off with a little schoolhouse rock.
All right.
Every 10 years, the Constitution mandates that every state legislative district in the country and every congressional district in the country be redrawn after the census so that when the population moves, the district lines change accordingly. In most cases here, state legislatures are in charge of drawing those lines. Gerrymandering, which goes back to 1788 and Patrick Henry, you can trace it back to the roots of the Republic, is the way in which politicians try to draw the lines to give themselves friendlier elections and easier districts in which to win. And from 1788 until 2000, this is a pretty bipartisan job in which both sides do it. They sometimes do it together to protect their incumbents. Sometimes it's a way for one party to, you know, steal an extra seat here and there, or to draw the lines in such a way as to squeeze a representative out of a district where they, you know, don't want him anymore if he's trouble for the party. In 2010, after the Democratic big wins in 2008, a handful of really smart Republican strategists are looking at the maps and they're saying we're in trouble. And then something dawns on them. 2010 is a redistricting year. It's a census year. And they say, hey, we can do this a little bit differently. We can try to win state legislative seats across the country, flip as many chambers as we can coast to coast. And when it comes time to draw these lines, with the help of all of these crazy new computer technologies and data mapping programs, we can draw ourselves districts in which we can't lose for the next decade.
And that became known as Operation Red Map.
Indeed it was. And 2012 then becomes the first election that is run on these new maps. It's a big year for Barack Obama. He's reelected. Democrats take 25 of the 33 U.S. Senate seats that are up this year. But crucially, Republicans keep control of the House of Representatives, even though Democratic candidates get 1.4 million more votes nationwide. This is amazing to look at on the state level. You take a state like Pennsylvania, which 100,000 more people vote for Democratic candidates for the House, but Republicans win 13 of the 18 seats. Michigan, it's the same thing. 240,000 more votes for Democratic candidates. Republicans take 9 of 14. Ohio, the ultimate 50-50 state, 12-4 Republican. And these lines are so good that even a year like this, even a year that looks pretty good for Democrats on the national level in terms of the presidency and the U.S. Senate, there is about as close as you can get to 0% of the Democrats taking back House of Representatives. So 6 years in, this is going to be the second presidential election in a row in which the party with the most votes does not take the most seats. And, you know, I mean, I think that starts to become dangerous for democracy when our political institutions get walled off from the voters at the ballot box. It doesn't matter which side you're on, you ought to be outraged by this.
And it actually is an idea or a concept that exists on a national and a state level, because the districts of a state election platform are different than, they don't mimic the national district. For example, Northwest New Jersey for the state is called the 24th district, and it's the 5th congressional district as far as D.C. is concerned. And I think the last time the census went out, strangely and maybe to the consternation of Republicans, Republican Governor Chris Christie gave the nod to the district map that was drawn up by the Democrats.
Yeah, New Jersey is an interesting state when it comes to redistricting. It's a pretty unique process nationally, and I think it's probably one of the fairer ones, at least as far as having somebody who is a professor or somebody who is ostensibly kind of out of the political fray kind of chair the process and guide it through. But redistricting is inherently a political process. You've got guys on both sides trying to game it and manipulate it absolutely any way they can. And it's why we have to try to get the politicians out of the room when it comes time to drawing these lines. These lines are the building blocks of our democracy. They are crucial. And we know how crucial they are because the politicians fight so hard to hold on to the right to draw them. We have to take that away from them. And in state after state where citizens have gone to the ballot initiative or to a constitutional amendment process, Democrats and Republicans can agree on this. It doesn't matter if it's California, Arizona, Florida, Ohio, blue states, red states, purple states, across the map. Redistricting reform generates about 60-65% of the vote everywhere, because all of us, I think, can agree that something is broken, something is gridlocked, something isn't working, and we want our elections to be fair, and we want the side with the most votes to win. And then we want to be able to, you know, have a dialogue, a conversation, and a debate that actually leads somewhere.
So David Daley, his book, Rats Bleeped, The True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your favorite means of getting a book. If you're one of those odd people who still go to an actual bookstore, you can get it through there, too, as well. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I guess the phrase is gaming the system or rigging the system is what the layperson would say. But it basically, this is the system. But you know the rules of redistricting. I mean, it's not anything is being disobeyed or rules are being broken or ignored. This was how the system was allowed to be developed and created the situation that allows whichever party is in the majority. I mean, this is certainly not something the Republicans were just the first ones to really make this concerted effort. So you know, with that being said, and with every period of time that the next majority can get their crack at this system as it exists, is the Democratic side looking at this and saying, okay, you got us then, we're going to get you now?
Well, you know, I think you're exactly right. I mean, it's like the old joke about D.C. The real crime is what's legal. And this is one of those cases in which the real crime is that they're able to treat our democracy in this way. We are essentially the only representative democracy in the world that allows politicians to draw these lines themselves and pick their own voters instead of the other way around. The Republicans spent $30 million on this Operation Red Map plan back in 2010. Democrats, after realizing that they were going to be in the minority in the House of Representatives and in a lot of states because of these maps for the course of the next decade, said that they were going to spend $75 million on a plan called Advantage 2020 to try to swing this back the other way next time. President Obama just came out the other day and said that his top political priority after he leaves the White House is going to be pursuing redistricting reform. Republicans said, that's great. We're going to run Red Map 2020, and we're going to pour $125 million into it. So here we are 4 years out. We've already got $200 million, probably dark money, special interest money, scheduled to try to fight for state house redistricting and congressional redistricting 4 years from now. It's going to flood more money into our politics. It's going to make it nastier, more negative, all the way down to the local level. I mean, you shouldn't have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to run for state representative. All of these elections shouldn't be nationalized in this way and controlled by the parties and by the folks who are able to drop in all of this money. It's going to make it prohibitive for normal people to run for election and to stand for office in their own communities. We've got to find a way to take the power to draw these lines away from the politicians and put them back in the hands of the people. We want to fix our politics.
And that is part of the solution that David writes about in Rat Bleep, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. Some immediate political history, or modern-day political history would be a more accurate term, is what he writes about. It shows you the hows, the whys, the mechanics. And again, it's you look at the grand picture through the political spectrum, and neither side is absolved of any blame, because where one took advantage of the system, the other side played part in allowing the system to be structured that the way it is. And, as they say, when you pet the snake, you are going to get bit. And that is part of what happened to the Democrats. Is it going to happen to Republicans next time? To be determined, unless someone determines to change the system and how the redistricting process is reestablished. And again, that's part of what David writes about in Rap Leap, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. He's also the former editor-in-chief of Salon. David, thanks so much for being here today.
Real pleasure. Thanks for having me.